Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise be to God. Thank you very much, Brother Brown. Thank you. Peace be on you. As we say in our religious language, Assalamu alaikum. We wish you peace, that peace be with you, and the mercy and blessings of God. We witness that God is one, the one who has created all of us, and all of us are his dependents. And we witness that the Quran, the last of the revealed books, was revealed to Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammad of Arabia, about 1400 years ago, and that he is God's servant and God's messenger. We witness that, and we salute the last prophet with the traditional salute, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. The prayers and the peace be on him and what follows of that salutation. We are greatly honored to be here on this great occasion, an occasion for us to celebrate. That is my office. We're going back home and we're going to celebrate this occasion. My daughter, who has been with me almost from the very first day that I began the ministry of Dr. Dean Muhammad in Guinea, she's here. You just saw her stand a few minutes ago. She has been like, I would say, my right arm. She used to carry all the work and keep all the headaches away from me. And she got married and then also got lupus. So you know the great loss to me. But she is recuperating now. The doctors are freeing her to do more work. She's beginning to take some of the burden off me again. In fact, she's taking a lot of burden off me again. And she has great ideas. I'm very proud of her. I know you know that. Yes. I'm also thankful to be here in the presence of all these wonderful, distinguished persons in the path of God and also working for the public, the government officials and representatives of the people. We are very happy and honored that you are here to witness the opening of the Public Relations Office, beautiful, very beautiful office, marvelously decorated, so inspiring. My daughter, she hardly could hang up. She arrived before me, and she's talking to me in Chicago area, and she could hardly hang up. She was so excited. And when I came here, I saw that she didn't exaggerate anything. So I congratulate you all of you, and especially my able assistant, Brother Earl Abdul Malik Muhammad, and his lovely wife, and the terrific people you got that knew what to do when it came to decorating an office. It's in a very, very classy facility too, you know. It's time that we dignify ourselves, you know. In a concrete way. I think we've always been dignified in an abstract way, but it's really good to see that concrete dignified. It's so wonderful. Congratulations again. We thank you, appreciate you all so much. I hope that what I have to present here will be appreciated by non-Muslims and those who are not African Americans, maybe too. I believe you can appreciate it, because really, if I've grown in my spirit, I believe, or in my soul, to a certain spiritual maturity, that if something doesn't appeal to my human soul, my humanity, I don't care for it. It has to also set well with my human soul, my humanity, in order for me to be comfortable with it and be pleased with it. So I'll be talking about my observations, but I'll be sharing with you my observations on what has occurred in our life the Muslims who followed the Nation of Islam under Elijah Muhammad, the honorable leader of the black Muslims on the Nation of Islam, and what has occurred since then with our embracing the Quran and accepting to see it as the highest authority in our life, what has occurred. But I'll be talking about it as an observer who believes that God himself has shown us mercy, that God himself has shown us mercy. That is not to say that God hasn't shown the other groups or the other communities mercy. I was speaking with a member of the Moorish American faith just a couple of days ago, and I'm acquainted with them. Some of them were attracted to the Nation of Islam through my father's teachings as early as the 40s, maybe earlier than that, but I'm aware of them being attracted even as early as the 40s. And I knew of them since I was a child. And in recent years, I would say in the last 10 years, I'm certainly aware that in the last 10 years, they have shown a curiosity, a new curiosity. They have a new, their leaders have a new curiosity, and I do believe that God's mercy is with them, and I do believe that they are going to blossom out and going to be present again in the eyes of the public. They were a quiet, kind of secretive group for a long time, but I think when they could finish their travel on the road, mental road, to search for the truth and to remove all the veils from their eyes, I believe that they are going to be in the open and they are going to be embracing the whole humanity and be free. That's what I believe. Now, our holy book, God says of our creation in the holy book called the Quran, the holy book of the Muslims, 1 billion followers of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be on him. They have one book we call the Quran. I should say we have one book called the Quran. Most Westerners call it the Quran, the Quran. God says in this book that he created us as a plant. He created us as a plant. I see the life, the soul, with its intelligence of my people. When I say my people, I mean more than my race. I mean my community, my Muslim community. Those who gather together behind or under the voice of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I see the soul with its intelligence, with the human intelligence of us as a group of people being entombed, buried, as one would bury a seed under the earth, under the surface of the earth. What buried us was the absence of knowledge of ourselves, the absence of knowledge of our ancestors, the absence of knowledge of our past, the absence of knowledge of our God. Our God. And without leaving you to wonder, the God of everybody. Our God and everybody's God. Without the knowledge of our God. And what buried us again was, quote, Islam, end quote. Islam. That buried us again. buried up Islam as taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, entombed us. It buried us in mysteries. It buried us in, I would say, exaggerations of our own reality, It buried us in those exaggerations. When we were told that the black man is God, right away we were buried in an exaggeration. Right away we were entombed in an exaggeration. Now, we accepted to be entombed. No one took us to the grave and we were howling, kicking and struggling. We went just like a seed goes, not resisting, rendering itself to the hand of whoever is carrying it. That's how we went. And in the hand of the message of the Nation of Islam, we were, and we accepted to go wherever it was taking us, and it entombed us. It entombed our intelligence, it entombed our thinking minds. Now, just as a seed is placed into the earth, buried into the earth, entombed in the earth, when the right conditions come, the seed starts to respond, starts to come to life. It slowly comes to life and it starts to respond. What it needs most essentially is, with that earth, is moisture or water. It needs food. It needs special food for itself. It needs that. It will take it from the earth when it gets the moisture and air. And air, it must have that. And warmth, light of the sun. It needs all of that. But a seed begins to respond with life before even the sunlight strikes it. It's still in the dark. Moisture is there. Warmth is there. Food is there. But no light is there. The light is just outside. And it somehow can influence or affect that dead seed that's struggling to come to life. And it began to open up, soften, open up, expand, and out of it comes growth. Out of itself comes growth. And at the same time, feeding on the tomb or the grave that it was put into. That's how a seed, God said, He created us as a plant. The desire in us, in our soul, is to be established as a plant. We have taken a topic, Islam, growing pains. And good news in our future. Islam, growing pains, and good news in our future. When we were further burdened, mentally, to understand our reality, our place in this world, who we are, and where is our place in this world. When Islam came and said that it came really to liberate us or to give life to the mentally dead, the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad identified all African Americans as the mentally dead in 1930, 31, 32, 33, and until the Honorable Elijah Muhammad stopped that teaching, that kind of teaching. Identified all of us blacks, all of us African Americans, as the mentally dead in America. I repeat now what I was saying, that when the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad or the Nation of Islam further buried our intelligence, our minds, it made us like a seed placed, a dead seed placed in the earth. We didn't have any more activity. When we were just told that we were inferior to whites and that we came from an inferior ancestry, the Africans, a place of savages, Africa, we were told that buried us a little bit beneath the surface of the earth. But then the teacher, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, came and he buried us deeper. By forcing us to have to deal with more questions in order to see the light. That's what I mean by buried. This world had already put too many questions on our mind. The white man's world, or I should say the white world of white supremacy, had put too many questions on our mind. It had said to us that we were inherently inferior. And we could never be a full man. And some even strongly suggested that we never could even be a full human being. And documents that we're supposed to respect as citizens of this country had written on them or in them that we were only a fraction of a man. All of that, along with the social sciences in the days behind us, and I hope they'll never come again, also written us off as inferior creatures. And then we were told of many mysteries in the church. Religion itself mystifies. It has influences that mystifies and puts questions on your mind that you never can fully answer or get complete answers to. And then behind that comes a man telling us that the black man is God. Now that's really a heavy question to live with. The black man is God. You know, it's easy to tell a man that's got everybody doing what he says that he's God. But here he come and tell the black man that can't even get another black man to do what he says that he's God. That's very difficult. That is a difficult question to live with. Am I God? Am I really God? So we were buried to the lowest possible depth in the dead earth, entombed in the earth, of mystery, of the unknown, straining to understand, what is my reality? Who am I? What is my place in this world? And God says in the Holy Book Scriptures that He is the one who gives the death and gives the life. That He is the one who made the darkness and the light to follow each other in succession. Isn't that God in the Scriptures? You mean the Scripture? I know you know what I'm talking about. Yes. God says it. And God says that He has made the darkness to oppress and the light to liberate. So wonderful God. He has made the darkness to oppress and the light to liberate. So God says that He created us as a seed. And we know a seed, if you want it to live again, you must bury it, you must entomb it, you must put it in the ground, under the surface of the earth. And trust God that created it the first time to give it a new creation, another life. Yes, Islam, growing pains. If I had the time to tell you about our growing pains, when you left out of here, you would need Excedrin and a whole lot of other stuff. You would really understand growing pains. The expression growing pains is an allusion to labor pains. And I do believe that in the body of the black people, in the body of the black people who are already somewhat buried mentally, and in the body of the Nation of Islam, we started to develop. And the growth was very difficult. Because the growth that we needed was growth for our souls, and more importantly, growth for our intelligence, growth for our minds, growth for our intelligence. And it was very painful to live as an inferior citizen, as a subject people, and at the same time, accept to call yourself God. I remember being a waiter in the Muslim restaurant on 71st Street in Chicago, and a big black-skinned brother that all of us liked, Brother Robert, we called him Big Robert. There was two Roberts. Both of them were tall, but one was real thin, and the other one was big muscular. So we called this one Big Robert. Big Robert came in, and when he hit the door, he said, "Okay, sisters," all of us, all the workers were Muslim. "Okay, sisters, come on out here and serve the God." That's exactly what he said. I'm a young man. I was a young man at that time. But you know, I think some moisture had hit me in the, up on the surface of the earth. Some moisture had gotten to me. I wasn't dry in the ground. So when he said that, I was offended. I was offended. I said, "My father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the messenger," we call him messenger. I said, "The messenger, did he actually tell you that you yourself was a God?" I said, "If he did, you ain't my God." And that brother, he sat down there and eat, but he didn't look the same for the rest of the day. Well, that's what we were taught, these heavy questions, you know. Labor pains. Something is trying to be born in the womb of darkness, or out from the womb of darkness. Something is trying to be born. A free soul, a free mind, a liberated intellect is trying to be born. And I think by burying us a little deeper made it possible. You know, sometimes the one who sowed the seeds, sow them, and he forget that these are not the seeds that grow on the surface. They have to be planted under. So he may lose what he's throwing out there if he doesn't open up the earth and put them under the earth and then cover them up. Some seeds will grow, they don't need it. They're so fine, they're so small, their life is going to be so shallow. Until they all they need to do just throw them on the ground, and the wind will blow enough dust on them to bury them. That's how small they are. They only need a little light cover on them. And the black man with his deep mental problem that the white man gave him, and then W.D. Farrar gave him, he needed a shovel full of dirt on top of him. Yeah. Now, labor pains. I'm not going over the labor pain. I'm not going to deal with the labor pain, only just to give you an idea what labor pains were. Now, from labor pains, I want to go to really, I would say, the experiences themselves somewhat. The beginning for us was our bad circumstances. Those bad circumstances, because of the mercy of God, turned out to be positive in our life. Turned out to be a positive in our life, not a negative, a positive. You know, sometimes even in math, you can put negatives a certain way and they amount to a positive. Certain disciplines of math. Algebra is one of them. Islam now was an attraction, a powerful attraction, even though it was not truly Islam. But Islam, as it was called in the Nation of Islam by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his teacher, was a powerful attraction. And it wasn't a powerful attraction just because it said the black flattered the black man's ego and told him he was God, or excited the black man's ego by telling him he's God. No, it was also very attractive. Because back then, in the 30s, 40s, 50s, up until the 60s. Back then, there was a strong religious spirit in the following of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. A strong religious spirit. No matter what we said God was, we believed God was all God Almighty, no matter what we called him. And we believed that we were answerable to that God, that he was going to reward us for our good and give us the punishment if we were bad. We believed very much like all the other religious communities believe, even though we had this strange idea of God and man. We were very strongly religious. Most of the people attracted to the Nation of Islam in the 30s, 40s, and I would say most of the 50s came from God-fearing people, Christians who were God-fearing people. And if they came even from jails or from the ghetto, the bad streets of the ghetto, they were people who in their hearts believed that there was a just God somewhere. They just hadn't found him or just hadn't understood him, but they believed that. So they joined all of Elijah Muhammad. They joined all of Elijah Muhammad because they didn't believe in the white man's world anymore. They joined all of Elijah Muhammad because Christianity hadn't answered questions for them that they needed answering, that they needed answers for or answers to. That's why they joined all of Elijah Muhammad, and because all of Elijah Muhammad promised them that they would get with him what they didn't get with the white man, and that was freedom, justice, and equality. I'm putting it exactly like it was given to us. Good home, money, friendship, and all walks of life. That's what we wanted. We wanted freedom, justice, equality. We wanted good living conditions. We wanted to be accepted by the people, good people of the world. We wanted to be accepted in the avenues of the world. Good homes, friendship, and all walks of life. That's what we were promised. And all Elijah Muhammad invited us to educate ourselves and promised us that the education that was in our future was the best of education. The education that would educate you and qualify you to be at the top of the world society. That's what all Elijah Muhammad said. And we believed him, and we followed him, and we obeyed him. Islam was a mighty attraction. It aroused our curiosity by telling us things that our mind could not deal with and could not find any help for. Where are you going to find help for dealing with something like this? 76 trillion years ago, a black man put the star in the heavens. Now where am I going? Encyclopedia Britannica? The Library of Congress? Where am I going for help? Once I wanted to go to a psyche, and I was just too shame. I was too fat. Now here are people, the African-American people, already in the darkness. Darkness, lost from themselves, lost from their reality in man's world. Lost! With a spirit to be free. A spirit to be free. And not yet free. Now here they are told that your own self is a righteous Muslim. That's exactly what we were told. So stop wondering, black man. Stop looking for your identity, black man. Here your God is telling you. We believe God told all of Elijah Muhammad these things. God is telling you that your own self is a righteous Muslim. So we accepted that. We didn't have to search any further. We accepted. Now we know ourselves. Myself, my own self is a righteous Muslim. That doesn't mean I'm not black anymore. And what it's saying that black is righteous. And black is Muslim. And it went even further to say black is even God. The black man is God. The driving force in our life as human beings was no more slavery, plantation, the past, our life of the past on the plantations. It was no more Negro or nigger, inferior black man. That wasn't driving us anymore. But I do believe that what's driving most of our popular African-American leaders today is the bad circumstances in our past life. They're still driven by that. So they are not free. They are not leading themselves. Their spirit is not in front of them. Their spirit is behind them, like a gush of wind, pushing them from the bad days that's in the rear. Slavery, discrimination, white supremacy, denial, etc. We began to experience, for the first time, a happiness and a satisfaction with our own self. Now you are my witness. I see many of you from the days of Bawla of Elijah Muhammad. You are my witnesses. Islam comes now, not as a myth, not as a fabulous story, making me bigger than what I am in my reality by telling me I'm a black dog. But here it now comes the real Islam with the passing of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and it starts to dawn even before he was passed. Even before he died, it started to dawn in his following. Here comes Islam, and Islam says to us that God made everything to serve his will, and therefore everything is inherently Muslim. And our thinking, scholarly people, began to be attracted to such language. And then God says to us with the words of the Quran that he made us to serve him, and that he made us explicitly for his service, to serve him. And that the most dignifying name that God can give us is his servant. His servant. Now I began to know my ruler, the one that rules in my life, my boss, my master, my lord, my ruler. I began to know him now as one who created me to serve him. He created me to serve him. I was only a young man when I began to think about that kind of language. I hadn't yet broke with the theology or the religion of the Nation of Islam. It was burdening my mind, and I was questioning a lot of it, but I hadn't parted from it. No, I was still living with it and preaching it to you all. But I began to love that language. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't encourage us to read and study the Quran, but he made an exception when it came to me. He told my family, and even told the ministers, said, well, he's going to be different. Say, he's not going to preach the Bible, he's going to preach the Quran. That's what my father said of me. So I was loving that kind of language. I said to myself, I recall when I heard Christians say, I've heard Christians black say, I'd rather be a doorman in the house of the Lord than to have a higher place in the world and not be in the service of God. I've heard Christians talk that kind of talk, you know. And then when I'm reading this about God created us to be a servant, I start to think. And I said, well, if God created me to be his servant, look how God has honored me. Look how God has esteemed me. I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if I was in the employment of the governor of Illinois? How people would respect me? No matter what job I had, I worked for the governor of Illinois. I said, I hear God has esteemed me much more. God says, be my servant. Therefore, if I am his servant, I can say, I work for Allah, the Most High God. That's what I begin to feel in my soul. And the more I've thought about that over the years, the more I've seen that as the key for the liberation of every man on this earth. Every man can be liberated if he stops thinking of himself as a servant of somebody else and start thinking of himself as a servant of the Most High God, God Almighty who created everything, you will be liberated. Then you can do the job of shoe shining as a servant of God. If you're going to serve God, you ain't going to give that man no half shoe shine. Your conscience will bother you. You're going to give that man a full shoe shine. Right? No matter how low your job is or how high you're going to perform better if you perform as the servant of God. And when you get through, brother, thank you. When you get through with the shoes and he's so proud, and hey, you did a wonderful job. It's a fine shine you put on those shoes. And he thanked you for it and tipped him. After you get your tip, you say to yourself, you're not saying to him, thank you, Allah. Thank you, Allah. Yes, thank you, God. That's what we mean by Allah. Thank you, God. Yes. And if he sits there and he's proud, he's white, or that I'd be right now, he'd be a black man. In fact, you shine a black man's shoe, you might really see a proud man sitting up there over you while you're shining those shoes, you know. But you won't call it racism. You just say, oh, that bigoted nigger, that big nigger, that big-headed nigger, that big black nigger, and George be shining his shoe, you know. But you won't call it racism. But a white man did that, you say, that racist, he enjoyed it. Yeah, you see. Yeah, but you know, after you finish shining his shoe, you know, you thank God. You thank God that you did a good job on those shoes. And you satisfied the man, he's happy, he's pleased with the shoes. And you actually were shining those shoes to please God. If you're a servant of God, you're shining those shoes not to please that man, but to please God. Because if it's to please you and another man come up that you know got a bigger tip, you'll rush him up. You rush this guy out, right? But if you're serving God, you ain't gonna rush him out, it'll be on your conscience. Not if you're a good servant. You won't rush him away. It'll be on your conscience. So you're going to give him a real good shine and tell the other fella, I'll be with you in a few minutes. And when that other fella learns that you don't shine shoes for money, that you shine shoes to do the perfect job, oh, that guy going to come back too. So when you obey God, you get better all the way around. Yeah. When you work for God, you get better all the way around. When you work for God, the intelligence is at its best. The intelligence is at its best when you're working for God. God created us to serve him, to serve and to seek him. And to seek him, we need our intelligence turned on. We need to be mentally curious. We need to be mentally active. We need to appreciate our creation, the human creation, as a human intellect. And our Prophet Muhammad said, God created nothing better than the human intellect. Isn't that wonderful? I'm sure the college students, like Sister Tama from the Atlanta, I'm sure she could appreciate that. God created nothing. Muhammad, the prophet, says this, priest and prayers and peace be on him, God created nothing better than the human intellect. Now, you know, when we have our little baby, the baby, you come to see the baby in the nursery, just born to your wife, that baby can be physically alive, but if it can't respond with his mind, oh, you're going to be hurt very terribly. In fact, I believe it almost hurts us more to see a child born without the ability to make use of his brain or his mind, much more than it does to see it born at all. In our own mind, we have been hurt less, in our hearts and minds, we would have been hurt less if that child hadn't been born at all. Because how can the child communicate if it doesn't have the human intelligence? It will be no more than an animal. It will never be able to express itself and communicate with us on a human level. So actually what I'm saying is that the human is from the very beginning an intellect. The human, according to Islamic scriptural wisdom, The human is created an intellect. An intellect, an intelligence, a human intelligence, a rational thinking person. That's what we are created to be. And that is our greatest and highest maturity. That is our greatest and highest maturity, to be intelligent. Now kindness is in a sheep. Kindness is in animals. But intelligence is in no creature that God has made as it is in human beings. Isn't that something to think about? I love any creature with a heart, with a good heart. Any creature with a good heart. But if I know a person, a human body, has nothing in it but a good heart and no intelligence, that hurts me terribly. If the human being has all kindness in it, love in it, but no rational mind, that hurts me terribly. Muhammad the Prophet said, God created nothing better than the human intellect. And the dictionary tells us that intellect means rational, power to reason, thinking, conscious, having the power to think and to reason. And we know that this world, we call the human world, it couldn't have all these things in it. If you look right in your home, at the furniture in your home, look how the utilities, how the lights are turned on, and how the heat comes into your house, and how the air conditioning comes on in the summer on the hot days. When you look at all these things, what do you see? You see the products of the human intellect working with the creation of God. Isn't that what you see? Yes. So never underestimate the value of a rational mind, the thinking mind that God created, the human intellect. So we begin to seek God, and to seek God, our mind must be turned on. Our curiosities, mental curiosities, must start to grow. We want to know ourselves because we were put in the dark, away from ourselves, the self that God made. We want to know ourselves in body. But we know ourselves in body now. We acknowledge ourselves in body. We feel comfortable with ourselves in body. We are black. My skin is black and I'm proud. My hair is nappy and I'm proud. My nose is broad and flat and I'm proud. My lips are thick and heavy and I'm proud. They're sexy lips. They're sexy nose. The hair is sexy. Turns my woman on. Go on, man, just stretch on out there. Stretch on out there. You know yourself as a black man now. But know yourself as a mind. Know yourself as a spirit. Know yourself as a social creature. Know yourself as a community person. A person that God has created to have life and establishment in the community of man. So it was the nation of Islam that buried the seed of our intelligence and our souls. But somehow the mercy of God was working even when that act was done. They were doing it with their hands. I believe God was an influence. God, the real God, the only God, I believe was the influence. Yes. God sometimes take us from one bad circumstance and put us in a worse one. And don't think that our circumstances in Africa, on the continent of Africa, are all that good. Study the history just before slavery. There was infighting, division, bickering, tribal wars, confusion. And then Allah, God, willed that a number of the black souls be taken from there and put over here in America. Yes. In a bad situation, and bad circumstances, slavery. Peculiar slavery. Slavery of the worst degree in the history of man. Yes, we were put there. But then because of the humanity in the hearts of the American people, the Quakers, the abolitionists, the Jews, who joined the freedom movement, or the civil rights movement, because of the good and the humanity in the hearts of the American people, and the determination and the seed the black man's intelligence, his soul and intellect, a determination in there to know himself, to be established as his creator intended for him to be established. We broke out of all that, working, the good people working all together. Where's God's way? Nothing but the ugly and the bad things, and see it all the negatives as nothing but negatives. But I believe if we are really people who believe that there is a just God, I would never accept that God wanted me to be enslaved and hurt. If God wanted me to be enslaved, God wanted me to be enslaved and helped. I would never believe that a good God wanted me to be abused and mistreated by a white supremacist and not help. So if God allowed all those things, I want to see where's God's wisdom in all this? Where's God's way in all this? Where's God's sign in all of this bad thing and all these bad things that have occurred in my life? Where's the sign of God? And by God, I found it. And I'm happy and free. Oh, yes. God loved the people of the Bible that was put in bondage, didn't he? He loved them, didn't he? Well, how they got in bondage? They saw a sign in that. Time for us to see a sign. And stop weeping. And stop condemning everybody. Time for us to see a sign. So whether you leave community because you're lost in your own community, or you're taken away from it like we were, we've taken away from our community in Africa, God wants us to return. Man is meant to be established in community. And now God has so sensitized us and so, I would say, edged us on to the point now that I can't only serve blacks, I must serve humans. I can't only serve a nation of Islam of blacks. I must serve a nation of Islam of all people, all races, all nations, all ethnic groups. I can't anymore serve a government of black people or a government for black people. I must serve a government for all people. This is what God will do if you give yourself as a servant to God and give yourself innocently and completely and purely to the will of God. God will eventually move your spirit to become so big that it needs the whole earth for its home. It needs the whole universe for its home. And after a while, man, you can truly say, you are free. Thank you very much, and peace be on you. Opportunity is here. Thank you very much. God be with us and guide us, have mercy on us and guide us always. As-salamu alaykum.